Yeah, and you're an anti-dentite.
I am not an anti-dentite.
You're a rabid anti-dentite.
Hey, everybody. Welcome back. It is time for another solo episode today where I'm just going to be winging it here. Unlike prior episodes where I've been talking about current events and police brutality and George Floyd and racist riots, Black Lives Matter, all this stuff out there happening in the world. Today, it's going to be more like probably what I envisioned for the Introversion podcast from the very beginning, which is, for those of you who are familiar with the old introversion.com site back in the early 2000s, it was basically just me telling the story of my life one day at a time. And, you know, doing so in a poetic way, in an artistic way, in a creative way. But it wasn't really as much about what's going on out there in the world. It was really more about my life, my experiences, my observations, my thoughts, you know, my longings, my failures, frustrations. And it was very raw, and I just put that out there for the world to see. And apparently the world took well to it. The fact that the introversion.com project was successful in the early 2000s, it gives me hope that, you know, maybe I'm on the right track to bring that back in the 2020s. Although, of course, it is a different time. It's a different era. So maybe it won't work. Maybe the ecosphere is so damn saturated with a bazillion podcasts and Instagram accounts and Facebook accounts and photos and Flickers and tweets and pins and TikToks that I'm just adding to the noise, maybe. So maybe, I don't know. Life has been, when I look back at my life, it's been a series of adaptations to events and external circumstances outside of my control. You know, obviously growing up in the military as a child, we had to move around every couple of years and you have to continually uproot. It's time to move on. And lose all momentum with where you were headed with your identity in your life, and you have to start all over again somewhere else. So that has been a process from age 0 to 18 for me, and so, you know, I should be used to that kind of thing where, I mean, I should be pretty good at it, right? I should be pretty good at rolling with the punches and adapting to all the shit that life throws your way, and I think I probably am better at it than the average person, the average civilian. I bet you my military brat brethren and sistren are probably also skilled in this way. And diplomats' kids, like those of us who have just had to learn to adapt at a young age to just continually move on and leave people behind, leave pieces of ourselves behind and have a very fragmented history, you know, because it's just scattered in the ashes of memories of different places and times across the globe. So, yeah, I don't know. It's, yeah, so it's a special skill, I guess, to be able to adapt. But at the same time, I don't know, you know, what do you want your life to be? Do you want your life to be a series of adaptations to shit that's out of your control? Or do you want to actually take more control of your life? Do you want to be moving toward crafting a life for yourself that you have more control over? You know, having grown up in the church for so long, it was often said, and you know, I believed it and it made sense, that basically you're not really in control of your life. God is in control of your life. And you hear that for so long, and it makes sense because you're not in control of your life fully, especially me as a military brat growing up and having no control over where I was living or what I was doing with my life. But I think for regular people as well, like we all like to think we have some control over our life. But if you're really honest about it, you know, you only have a certain amount of control over your life. You can literally be walking on the sidewalk and you get hit by a drunk driver, you know, get hit by a Rayshard Brooks or, you know, whoever, and your life is over, or you're crippled, or you're, you know, or you get hit with cancer You get hit with anything in life, you know? So life is such a fragile experience. You know, one thing I used to say was, and I have it in a tweet somewhere buried ages ago, but it was something like, human beings are incredibly fragile, but remarkably resilient. We live in that sort of dichotomy where the slightest thing could ruin our day or ruin our mood or send us on a downward spiral or hit us really hard, a death of a loved one or something happening directly to you. And sometimes you don't recover from that. People don't recover from something that hits so hard. So there is that, right? There is that sense of we're going through life, and especially these days, right? In 2020, I just had a friend actually, I'll go ahead and mention his name. So Tom Pulliam, who was on the podcast a couple of weeks ago, out in LA, he just had his apartment, I don't know what the correct term is, but burglarized or vandalized or, you know, basically they somebody threw a potted plant or something through the window and broke it and was just out of control. And I don't know the full details. I'm not going to get into it. But the point is, shit happens. And no matter how well you prepared you think you are, shit is happening all around us. And with riots and looting and Chaz and defunding the police and blue flu, and it's like, I don't know, you know, like I've always been a person who's desired some sort of stability, some sort of regularity is a baseline for just feeling like you have 2 feet on the ground and you're established somewhere, you know, especially somebody like me who's grown up moving around all the time in the military. As an adult, you kind of want to lay, you know, you kind of want to establish some roots. You want to feel your feet planted on solid ground, and you want to, you know, you need some place to start, to springboard off of. And you can't do that if everything around you is changing, and not just changing, but these days literally falling apart, being destroyed. And I know my leftist radical activist friends would say, oh, no, we're just destroying the bad parts of society. We're destroying the white man patriarchy. We are destroying racism. We're destroying... And I'm like, you're taking out a lot of people and a lot of innocent bystanders in the process. African-American businesses, business owners, people's homes being vandalized who have nothing to do with slavery and racism and all this stuff. They're just people going about their day, living their lives, going to work, trying to make the world a better place, trying to establish friendships and relationships and date and fall in love and have kids and just live a life. They're not out to enslave anybody. They're not out to be racist. Just people living their lives of all ethnicities, white, black, Mexican, Asian. We're all just trying to get by. Life is hard enough as it is. Paying bills, making some money, and trying to find some things in life to enjoy and also some purpose in your life to, you know. And I don't know. What do y'all think? Do y'all think that with everything going on in our society, it is somehow making things easier? Is the American dream easier now? Is it going to become easier? Or is the American dream bullshit to begin with? I think a lot of people on the left would probably say that. I think a lot of people hate this country. A lot of people feel like, fuck the USA, fuck this country, you know, fuck the flag, burn it, like burn it all down, you know, fuck George Washington. And it seems to be a very loud, if it is a minority, a very loud minority who really feels this way. And right now they're stealing the show. And the media is more than happy to give them more and more attention because that's what drives ratings. So, yeah, how do you try to go about your life and do your thing when society feels like it's crumbling around you. Now, I say feels like because I don't know. How much is society really falling apart? It's hard to tell. I think a lot of this is exactly as I phrased it. It's seems like, feels like, you know, it feels like a black man, an unarmed black man is getting shot by the cops every day or every week. It feels like there's a school shooting every couple days. And it's funny to think about terrorism, right? Like, we don't even talk about terrorism anymore. Yeah, we don't even talk about terrorism anymore. It's like not even on, it's not even on the docket. Remember 9/11? I think some people weren't even born then. Crazy. But for those of us who are still around, I think a lot of us, those memories have faded, you know, those feelings that we had right after 9/11. Everybody. I seem to remember a lot of New Yorkers banding together and unifying. And I remember when I went up to visit New York after that, and when I moved up there shortly after that in 2002, there was kind of this positive vibe feeling. Like, we're all in this together, we're all Americans, we're all New Yorkers, and this is cool. It's just like a good vibe. And but anyway, at the same time, there were people who were starting to get freaked out about brown people and Islam and terrorists. And that was the big crazy boogeyman out to kill us all back then. And we got the TSA and we got, what is it, the Patriot Act. You know, more spying on everything we do, correspondence, you know, taking away our privacy, letting the government in on everything that we do. So all of that was back then. Nobody even talks about that shit nowadays. It's not even a, it's like I'm talking about a brand new story that nobody's ever heard of. That's basically probably how it feels like to you right now, because terrorism, who cares about what?
What you talking about, Willis?
We got a virus that's killing everybody. According to the CDC, 0.04% of people who get it will die. So virtually 0% of people, sorry, under the age of 50. That was the last statistic that I saw. 0.04% would die under the age of 50. So you have a much higher chance of getting hit by a car, by a drunk driver, cancer, diabetes-related deaths, heart disease, all these other things. But people don't care about that statistic. Now I've seen in the news, everybody sharing these links. There's more cases. There's more cases now. It's spreading. It's spreading. It's everywhere. Second wave. Oh, no. And the funny thing is when there were all the riots and the protesters, nobody talked about COVID.
Everything's under control, situation normal.
It was fine to go out and protest and riot and loot and whatever because it's merited. Yeah, that's an acceptable protest. So forget about COVID. It's not really a thing. But then as soon as there's a Trump rally, it's like, oh, now COVID's a thing. Yeah. And I texted this to one of my friends who is definitely in the camp of all these people are going to get sick and die and spread it around, and these idiots are going to just, who aren't wearing masks, who are going, trying to get back to life like normal. So I have a friend who thinks like that. I have many friends who think like that, but the same friend, they think we're all morons for wanting to go outside and breathe fresh air and actually, you know, meet up with people and friends and go back to life. They think we're morons because I'm going to die, and all the people doing this are going to die, and we're going to carry this in us and continually transmit it to all of the old people. Forget the fact that I hardly ever interact with any senior citizens at all in my life. But somehow I'm a grandma killer. I'm a grandfather killer. I'm a, you know, old senior killer. That's me. But anyway, I was kind of saying to that friend, I was like, and I think this is going to be my approach moving forward. It's like, oh, so for all the liberal Dems and leftists who are mocking and laughing at all the Trump supporters for going to rally in Tulsa, you'd think they would be laughing it up or celebrating at the fact that all of those Trump voters, who they hate so much, they hate Trump so much and they hate Trump voters so much, you think they'd be able to kind of get the last laugh in when they see that all these Trump voters are dead now. They went to the rally, they all got infected, they all died. So now there's no more Trump voters, at least near Oklahoma, because they all died of COVID. I know maybe some decentness in my leftist friends might prevent them from saying that out loud, but deep down, I'm sure they would smirk a little bit that they were right, and they would be glad that so many Trump voters were wiped out, and there's no way we're going to have Trump reelected, because with this sort of logic, I would think that the left would want to see more Trump rallies, because that means more Trump voters would get killed from COVID, you know? But I don't hear anything about that happening from even CNN or from any source. Like, where are the numbers on all the people dying now from COVID, from the Trump rally? I don't know. I'm waiting to hear about that. So the verdict's still out on that. But yeah, so the numbers that I've seen are that deaths are actually going down. If you look at the charts, if you look at the graph, deaths have been going down, I think, for the last several weeks. Cases are going up. Of course cases are going up. The more people who get tested, the more people are going to test positive. That's so obvious. And yet people are freaking out that there's more cases, there's more cases.
We're all going to die!
And if you listen to CNN and all the news, that's all they keep talking about now. That is their second wave, is that there's more and more and more and more cases. I also saw a report that said more younger people are actually testing positive now. There's going to be more cases of younger people who, again, aren't dying, who aren't even getting sick. I think the last stat I saw from the CDC, their projection was that about 40% of people are asymptomatic who have it. And when I first saw that stat, I thought, well, okay, there's also a whole bunch of people who haven't shown any symptoms who haven't gotten tested, because why would they get tested if they're been going through their life fine for the last few months? So if those people were to go in and get tested for whatever reason, that means that we would have even more positive cases. But that would also mean there's more people who are asymptomatic and there's more people who are not getting sick and dying from this thing. But anyway, when I started this episode out, I didn't really want to talk about Black Lives Matter. I didn't really talk about racism. I didn't really want to talk about COVID-19, and yet here I am. So I'm going to cut that off right now and talk about my experience today going to the dentist. So I obviously haven't been to the dentist in a while. It was at least 6, 7, 8 months or something. It was sometime last year I went. My 6-month appointment kept getting pushed back because of the shutdown. So finally, they're open for business again, and I've been having a problem with one of my fillings, so I was like, okay, fine, I'll come in. It's good for me to get a cleaning and get checked out. So I go in, and they do all these, they do the x-rays, and they do, turns out the filling is actually just like 2 fillings in the same tooth, and one of them kind of fell out, and so they're actually going to have to redo that and put a crown in, so I got to pay more, and so that's happening. But they also did one of these, I had never heard of this or seen this before, but it was like a perio chart something. And the dental hygienist examined my mouth and basically said, she was giving like a millimeter or something scores for your parts of your gums, your mouth, whatever. I don't want to get all into this with y'all, but basically you want to have a score between 1 and 3, and I had a whole bunch of 4s, and in some places 5s to 7. So I got some dental issues, going to have to take care of it, and apparently I grind my teeth.
You know what really grinds my gears?
And so I might need to wear a night guard or something. So it's kind of like, I don't know. I always hate going to the dentist, as I'm sure most people do. In fact, my old dentist in New York is a friend of mine. She used to hate going to the dentist. She used to be terrified of going to the dentist. So even dentists don't like going to other dentists.
You anti-dentite bastard.
All that being said, so I went to the dentist today. Not the greatest in news. But here's what I want to talk about the experience. It's like, it's just weird being back out there in the real world now. So first of all, because it's a nice day out today, I was going to try to walk there. I think it would have been maybe like a 40-minute walk, somewhere between a 30 to 50-minute walk. But of course, I was running late this morning, so I ended up having to take a Lyft. And this was the first time I took an Uber or a Lyft since the lockdown, since the pandemic started. So this was weird. I had received the emails from them, and I saw some of their stipulations, and now in order to ride, you have to wear a mask. So I was prepared. Of course, I wasn't sure how it was going to be when I got to the dentist's office, so I put the mask on.
No one cared who I was till I put on the mask.
Got into the Lyft. It was fine. I was trying to talk to the driver a little bit, but I always feel very uncomfortable talking when I have the mask on. So I was kind of asking him, how's it been going, you know, being a Lyft driver during the pandemic, whatever. But he had a mask on. I had a mask on. He didn't seem particularly chatty. So, you know, that was that. So rode, he dropped me off. I go in, and then in order to get into the lobby, you have to wear a mask. And then I get upstairs. You know, I took the elevator up, and there's not many people around, but I get there, and there's the receptionist. Very few people at the dental office. So this is a new receptionist that I'm talking with her, and she's nice, and I notice there's like a huge glass covering now, separating her from the patients out here. And I kind of asked her, like, should I... Actually, I don't even think I asked her. I just kept the mask on because I assume they recommend that I keep the mask on, whatever. So I got to chatting with her a little bit, and we were just chatting about, you know, whatever, about the pandemic and how life is and whatever. And felt good to actually chat with a person. It's funny because I realize as an introvert, I'm not usually the most chatty guy with strangers. But what I have found is when I have these rare opportunities to connect with another human being, ideally with no masks on, but even with a mask on, I'm feeling way more like a chatty Cathy or whatever, you know, like I was just wanting to talk with this lady more and more, you know. I just feel this pull, this drive, this longing to have conversations with people. It doesn't matter if I know them or strangers or whatever. So this is kind of a much different impulse than my normal introverted MO. So there was that. But eventually I go in and, you know, I ask, can I take the mask off now? And then the other assistant lady was like, yeah, take the mask off. You're fine. And, you know, there's just all these little things that are different now. They, like, you can't spit in the cup anymore. Instead, she gave me a cup. I drink the water. Then she comes in with that little suction thing. She puts that straw into my mouth and sucks the water out of my mouth, because this is supposed to be hygienically less risky than spitting into a little mini sink or something. So shit like that. And then she brought in this new device they had, and apparently it sucks. I think the way she described it sucks the viruses out of the air or something. So she had that thing, and it was very loud. It was like blaring, you know, right near my head the whole time. So, yeah, it's just, all of this is just, I don't know. I'm sure the Faucis of the world and all the people who want to just buy into that whole thing are just like, well, this is the new normal. You just got to get used to it. It's going to be fine. It's the new normal. But I don't know. I'm not buying it. I'm not really buying it as the new normal. An interesting thing I saw somewhere, I think it was in somebody's Facebook comment. Somebody wrote, the sad thing about the state of affairs now is that for a human being to develop a habit, I believe it's like 30 days. So basically, in a good way, like if you wanted to get into the habit of studying German every day, which is what I've been doing, or starting out your day with a glass of water, or you know, whatever good habit you want to try. It's like if you do it for 30 days, you have a very, there's a very high likelihood that habit will stick and that will sort of be programmed into your thick skull that you're just going to do that now. You're so used to that habit, you know, whether it's making your bed or whatever it is. And, but somebody made that point that this whole new normal of wearing masks and social distancing and being afraid of other people, like they have some germs that are going to kill you, and all of these little micro decisions and little actions, we're well past the 30-day point. We're well past that. So these habits now have been forged. And not even in just us adults, but children. Think about little kids now. So little kids are growing up with this new normal, and they've been doing it not for just 30 days, but for months. So people get used to things. So we're developing these habits of like, okay, I'm going to stay away from people. Oh, that person coughed. I better really stay away from them, and they might be a carrier, and oh, contact tracing and all this other bullshit. Like it's just... And I know some of my friends who oppose me on these things would say, like, oh, I'm being paranoid. Oh, we're going to just snap out of it. Or I don't know. I don't know what their view is. And I want to have these conversations with more people, not necessarily on Facebook, but on the podcast. And I have had a couple of these conversations. And we will continue to have more of these conversations. But obviously, for the last couple of weeks, there's just been a lot of conversation about race relations and Black Lives Matter and all that. But, yeah, I don't know if I feel like people are just, are so easily led and so easily trained to just accept things. And it's weird because I'm in this sort of predicament where I've had to accept a lot of things my whole life, like growing up in the military, like I said, like you don't really get to question authority. And whether it was growing up in the military or also being a Christian in the church, like you don't question God. You don't question the pastor or your father who is a pastor in my case, or, you know, it's just, that's just the law. That's just, you just obey. But somehow I was thinking about this last year at some point. I really don't know how my sister and I turned out the way we did, because both of us are very skeptical, doubting, researching, meticulous, challenging people. We just don't accept things at face value. I mean, we question things deeply, and it often leaves us kind of isolated and alone, because while everyone else is going with the program, we're kind of taking a step back and really feeling like, well, I don't know about this. And there's always going to be fewer of those people in the world. You know, that's literally why it's like herd mentality. Most everybody wants to be part of the flock and to get with the program. But for those of us who, it's not that I don't want to get with the program, but I'm going to question what the program is. If the program is cool, fine, I'll get with the program. When it comes to obeying basic laws in this country, I'm with that program. I'm with the program to not drink and drive and to not do illegal drugs and to not shoot people and rob and steal, rape and pillage. And I'm cool with all these things to obey these. I'm cool with that program. But obviously I'm not so cool with this program of wear the mask, get vaccinated, do all of these things because the experts told us to. I really wonder. I haven't been that vocal about pushing back on all of these things. I've been a little vocal on Facebook, but I haven't really said that much on this podcast. And even so, like, there's not hundreds and thousands of people listening to this podcast. So even if I were to mouth off here, it doesn't really matter in the grand scheme of things. What does that even look like, really? For me to really mouth off about all this stuff, to really put my views out there, when there's really not a whole lot of people out there listening. I feel like the way it would play out would be if I got really active on Twitter, and not even in terms of tweeting my own tweets on my own Twitter account, but I mean in terms of going, following a thread, a hashtag that a lot of other people are talking on, and then I just keep chiming in with my comments either agreeing or disagreeing. You know, and then I would get hate there, and then I would respond to the hate, and this would go on. And so whether it's on Facebook or Twitter, if I go down that path, it's like, eh, what good is it doing? What good is it doing? I feel like it's just a waste of time. Which leads me to this final thought that I have for today. I ended up walking home from the dentist. So even though I didn't get to walk there because it was running late, I did end up walking all the way home. So I walked whatever it was, 2 to 2.5 miles, whatever it was. So I walked home, and at one point I was getting closer to my neighborhood, and I'm about to cross the street on a one-way street, right? So the traffic would be coming from my left, and there's no stop sign at that intersection, so they would have the right of way. So before I cross the street, I obviously look to my left to see if there's a car coming that would have the right to run me over. I look to my left. There's no car. All right, so I'm safe, right? I'm good to go to cross the street. And as I start to cross the street, I do what you should do in Philly, because Philly drivers, I've already gotten hit by a truck, by the way, if y'all didn't know this, but Philly drivers, I have zero faith in. So as I cross the street, I've already looked to my left to see where there's no traffic coming on the one-way street where it should be coming from. So before I fully get into the street, I turn my head to the right to make sure there's not a car coming from the wrong way on a one-way street. Luckily, there was nobody coming, and I crossed the street. There were no cars around at all. But I started going through this thought process of being right, being wrong. And again, I'm talking in the context of this intersection, but really in general, you know, whether it's your views on Black Lives Matter or racism or systemic racism or COVID, how dangerous it is or not, whether you should wear masks or not, the effectiveness of social distancing or not, like whatever the issue. I thought about it. Let's go back to this car in the intersection scenario, right? So I thought, if this driver going the wrong direction on a one-way street comes and hits me and either kills me or renders me paralyzed for the rest of my life, whatever the case. Now, I would have a case against that driver in the sense that I was right, I was correct, because that driver was the one at fault. He was the one going down the wrong direction on a one-way street as he hit me, right? So you have to think in this moment, and with the aftermath of that moment, what does it matter that I was in the right? What does it really matter in the end? What's really important? Does it matter that I was right and the driver was wrong? I would argue it doesn't matter at all. It doesn't matter that you're right and the other person was wrong driving down the wrong direction on a one-way street. What matters is you're now dead or you're paralyzed for the rest of your life. You see where I'm going with this? So these thoughts entered my mind as I crossed the intersection and as I was walking the rest of the way home. And I thought, with regard to all these debates with people, you know, and we're all slinging, if we're really going to get into it, we're all slinging statistics around and different theories and different experts and read this article, oh, watch this video. Back and forth we go, left, right, liberal, conservative, whatever. I don't know, you know, because I've definitely been of the mindset of like, I think most people, you can't really convince most people of anything. My last couple of years of being a Christian, I used to think that as well. I used to think, I'm never really going to convert somebody to Christianity, you know, for all my efforts. I feel like, I can't really convince somebody into becoming a Christian or whatever. And Christians would actually agree with me because they would say shit like, well, you know, that's because it's not about you. It's not about the words you're saying or the case you're making. It's about God. The Holy Spirit has to work in that person. That's the only way their heart will be changed. You're just they wouldn't call me a meaningless vessel, but, you know, you're just a vessel for the Holy Spirit. You know, it's not about you and your performance and your words. So yada, 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 they would say things like that. But I, whatever, like Holy Spirit, all that shit, like there's nothing, I didn't really ever understand it because it just didn't really manifest itself in any real way in my life, despite spending decades trying to understand it. But anyway, the point is, I don't know. The point is, I had been thinking, I can't really convince anybody of anything. And I used to think that back then as a Christian, try to convert people. But now, I don't know. I think at best, there's a silent majority of people who are reasonably minded, who they kind of stand in the background. They're not really vocal, but they kind of just observe things here and there. And if you do post that thing on Facebook where you make a good point, or a series of tweets, or the podcast, or whatever you do, if you're putting something out there in the world that you think is factually true, and you think it's something that should be out there for people to learn from it, or to better understand where you're coming from, or, you know, or to maybe believe in the thing that you're putting out there as being true and, you know, could affect their life for the better. I think there are people out there who are open to that kind of thing. It's just they're not the kind of people who are even going to be that active on Facebook or Twitter. You know, these are the people who are the farthest thing from an activist because they're probably too busy, you know, raising their kids and going to their job and paying bills and working hard and taking care of themselves, working out, like fixing their roof. Like, I feel like at best I can put my truth out there and maybe a few of these people will latch onto it. But realistically, it boils down to the other two camps, which is either people who agree with me about whatever the issue is, or people who disagree with me and often vehemently disagree with me, right? So I'm not going to say there's no value in it, but because there is a value in the sense of when I put something out there that I have found to be true, either from hearing somebody else do a nice report on it and provide statistics and data or whatever, or it's something that I have experienced personally and I'm putting that out there as a form of truth. It does feel good when people see things how I do and they click like or leave a comment and they say as much like, hey, you know, I'm glad you posted that, or, you know, just those little bits of support, they do mean something in the sense of they make me feel better. They make me feel like I'm not alone in the world because I'm like, okay, all right, there are other people out there who think and feel similarly to how I do. So that's nice. But for everybody else, which it feels like more of the majority of people in my particular social sphere, having lived in New York for so long, and, you know, I've bounced from San Francisco to New York to Philly now. Of course, I'm going to have probably a lot more leftist liberal friends than conservative friends. And even the conservative friends I have, I don't really necessarily identify with them either because a lot of them are Christian, but I've left the church. I've left Christianity. So there's a lot there where I don't identify with them either. Obviously, I'm kind of stranded here in this nebulous purgatory. But it's like, what am I to do with that? Especially since I am trying to make it as a content creator, as I am trying to make it as a blogger once again, if you want to call it that, what I used to do in the early 2000s with introversion.com. So I'm back at that, doing it in my way, of course, via drawing and art and, you know, a combination, tweets and video, and I want to get more into music and playing around with audio. And so all of this is great. Like, I love being creative and doing my thing, but it's kind of like, what does it matter? Or who's listening? Or, you know, what is my audience? Is this growing what I'm doing? Is it meaningful to me? Is it meaningful to others? Is it worthwhile? And I'm not going to fully open up this can of worms. I'll probably talk about it in a future episode. But I was feeling kind of down again a couple days ago, and I talked with my friend Brian, who I hope to have on the podcast soon. But I was telling him, we were talking about this feeling of like, what is life really? You know, it's like when you're young, there's so many possibilities. The world is your oyster. You know, you can grow up and you can be this, you can do that. You know, you're going to meet this great girl and fall in love and get married and have kids, and you're going to be successful, make a lot of money. You're going to create some really amazing things. You're going to have a legacy. You know, your life is going to matter, and you're going to love every minute of it. You're going to be on this great wild journey of exploration and accomplishment and ecstasy. And yeah, there'll be highs and lows, but when you're younger, it's kind of this exciting journey you're about to embark on. And the rather harsh reality is, you know, the case for me, but I'm sure it's the case for a lot of other people, is that things don't really necessarily work out the way they were supposed to. All of those lofty ideas you had as a kid, you know, all of a sudden you drift into your 30s and then your 40s, and you feel almost silly talking about all the things you're still going to do in your life, right? You know, how much longer can you say, oh, when I get older, I'm going to do this or I'm going to do that. And then you realize, like, well, I'm already old. You know, like I'm kind of on that bridge now into old age. And it's a very short bridge. It's just amazing to me how short life is. One second you're in your 20s and you're quote unquote young and, you know, again, full of possibilities, full of everything. And then all of a sudden you're 30 and then things didn't really work out the way you thought they would. You didn't really fall in love and get married and all that. And of course, for me, there was the whole departure from religion, which took me the first couple of years of my 30s to figure that all out. And you start to figure things out in your 30s, and that's great. But the next thing you know, well, then you're 40. And then you move to a new place. That takes some time. And the next thing you know, there's a pandemic. And then there's looting and riots. And then, you know, this 2020 year, it's all fucked up. It's like, who, you know, there goes another year though, right? So we only have so many years in life to figure shit out and devise a plan and then act on that plan, right? Life is short. So I don't know. I just... Again, I'm already starting to get into this, and I don't want to get into it now. I'm going to save this for another time, but I will bring this up again at some point to talk about life and what even is life. If it's not about religion, if it's not about God, if it's not about marriage, if it's not about kids, what is life? What's really important? What is happiness? So consider that a teaser for next time. I'm not going to get all into that right now, but we will definitely be diving in here probably next time, unless there's a friggin' earthquake or a nuclear warhead goes off or, you know, we'll see whatever crazy shit goes down in the next week. Yeah, but for the time being, let's leave it at that. This feels good to get some of this stuff off my chest, because all of this is a process. I'm figuring this shit out as I go, and I'm posting it on this podcast for you to hear it as well. And maybe it helps you to hear somebody else struggling with similar things you're struggling with. Or maybe you can't relate to this at all, but maybe it's reality podcasting, right? We all know how fake reality TV is, so whatever it is I'm doing here is far more real than any reality TV show I've ever seen, that's for sure. So yeah, I will leave it at that. Before I go, a very important message here from today's sponsor. Today's episode is brought to you by Waffles That Stick Together.
I hate it when the waffles stick together.
Sticking together is what good waffles do.
I hope this has been enlightening for you.
The Introversion Podcast is on its way, but we've obviously got a long way to go to get to where we want to be getting to. I will certainly be doing my part in cranking out new episodes every week, but here's where you come in. If you haven't yet done so, hit that subscribe button on whatever platform you're currently listening on. That way you can obviously get notified as soon as new episodes arrive. If you're listening on Apple Podcasts, please give a 5-star rating. It just takes a second, and it will empower the Introversion Podcast to rise up and conquer the suppression of algorithms that would otherwise crush this fledgling podcast into unknown oblivion. So yeah, please leave a rating, and even better, an actual review. Just a few words expressing what you dig about the podcast honestly would mean the world to me and would really help provide the motivation to keep this baby growing. Also, I'd love to hear from you at any time. Comments, questions, or if you're interested in being a guest on the podcast, send an email to podcast@introversion.com. You can also connect with me on social media. I am Jay Kaslow. That's JayKaslow on Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, TikTok, pretty much wherever. I really want the Introversion Podcast to be something special. Raw, informative, entertaining, experimental,
inconceivable,
enlightening, therapeutic for you and me. Let's keep the conversations going about a range of topics that affect us all. Let's rise above all the hate and sickness and sadness and strife that plague this world. Let's seek to better understand each other and ultimately live our best lives. Seriously, let's do this thing.
Thank you.
Goodbye now.
Goodbye.
Goodbye.
Thank you. Goodbye.